Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Kyle, I welcome you to the Nerdist Podcast number 578.
Ooh, a personal greeting.
Yeah. Oh. I want you to enjoy your time here.
Oh, I definitely. Ooh, that's some good burrito. That's too much enjoying of the burrito. Just,
Don't grab it with both hands.
The problem is the twist motion is when you started to flinch.
You're supposed to twist your hands in opposite directions.
It's like a pepper grinder
one,
as you put
exactly,
the burrito
one
into
clockwise,
your mouth.
One counterclockwise, one counterclockwise. But then if you do that, then you run the risk of all the guac shooting out the sides.
Yeah, before you're ready for
so
it,
so be
too.
Very careful when you do that, if you're enjoying burrito in that fashion.
You got to enjoy responsibly.
Which is Kevin Heffernan and Steve Lemmy of Broken Lizard.
And of the Nerdist Podcast,
and
Chewing It.
And of the Nerdist Podcast, Chewing It, who are great dudes. You should listen to Chewing It. Which they have a celebrity guest on, but they also talk about the writing process.
It's one of my top favorite podcasts.
And they're super, super funny. And they're actually on tour now. So go to heffernanlemmy.com, HeffernanLemme.com to find out if they're going to be performing at a venue near you. Chewing It. I know Katie loves Chewing It, too.
Yeah.
Katie produces the shit out of that show, don't you?
They are good times.
She's nodding her head without a microphone.
Yeah.
Thanks, Katie. Here's Nerdist Podcast number 578. Kevin Heffernan, Steve Lemmy.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Seriously, and I mean, if you know, if they said like, "Hey, would you want to be in it?" Of course, I would.
Yeah,
but I don't think I don't have that expectation at all.
Yeah,
what has happened though is that Greg Nicotero keeps saying like, "You know, if you're down in Atlanta, let me make you up as a zombie, and we'll just put you in one of the shots." And I'm like, "Yeah."
Didn't that happen? Didn't you get made up as a zombie?
They made me up like one, but I wasn't actually in the show. But it's a long process. Like, the makeup is a long process.
Do you think, like, for every extra, they probably have, like, the simple, rubber head that goes on the guy in the deep background. And then, because that's a shitload of people they have in that.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, their days start really early to get everyone. And also, you know, usually they start shooting in, like, May.
Yeah.
And so it's fucking hot in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And, but I'm also just afraid that I should just do it sometime. But I'm also just afraid, like, I don't want people to be taken out of the show because they recognize me as a zombie.
Yeah.
Although, you know, listen, if we're really being thorough, chances are I didn't survive the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
And I very well...
What in you would make you fail the zombie apocalypse?
What would make me fail it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like a desire for something, a certain kind of food that wouldn't get you fucked or something.
Yeah, I just really would. I just was like, oh, you should just get a pizza, guys.
Right.
Just like the old days.
Yeah.
Mm.
But they should do that on like, they have yet, those people should travel and find, like, a movie studio. And then, like, that just, but it's been locked up. And so it's like, you know, they go on and it's the set of like Friends or something like that. But it's a set of The Big Bang Theory and all those people are zombified.
Yeah, all of them. But they're still having the same types of personal dynamics that they have on the show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But just as zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason. I mean, you know, they'd have to travel pretty far west to do that. But, you know, a lot of stuff shoots in Atlanta now. So
that's what I'm saying.
A,
right.
You know, Maybe there's a good
Real Housewives of Atlanta or something. Like
that. Sure. Now that's like they were shooting their reunion episode, and Andy Cohen and them all got trapped inside.
Yeah, right.
They would be there.
Yeah. And well, Nene, I bet Nene would survive the zombie apocalypse.
Well, I don't know which one that is because I've never seen that show. But I guess she's.
Oh, sure you haven't.
She sounds like a pill, though.
Yeah. No, she was the one who was on that ABC the New Normal.
Oh,
she's
okay.
Like she's a large woman with like platinum blonde hair.
Okay, okay.
Larger than life.
I've never seen a Real Housewife show of any type.
Me either.
So
I've not seen one.
Yeah, well, my wife like Bravo. If I'm not hovering over the TV set, it's on Bravo.
Okay, for a second, I thought you were saying my wife Bravo.
Bravo.
Yeah,
she's a connoisseur of the housewife shows.
On to the housewives. She watches all those housewives and like the. Like a Below Deck and the real estate flipping shows and the single.
Now those I'm on board for.
Do you?
I'm on board for HGTV. Yeah, because I love process shows.
Yeah,
like reality shows where people just fucking exist.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't. But Project Runway I loved, and I love the house flipping ones because those people actually have a skill, and you see them take nothing and turn it into something.
Yeah.
Like right. The something to nothing shows. I actually really enjoy those types of shows, but I just can't watch people just existing because they're fucking lunatics.
I'm a Survivor guy.
You are?
Yeah. But that's the gold standard.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Don't you think?
Well, I don't.
But
yes,
now I'm putting you in the spot.
Yeah. Oh, no.
But it seems to me straight. I mean, what are they in, like their 20th season?
Yeah. But you know what the big marketing ploy this time is? I'm a little disappointed in them.
What?
John Rocker.
Oh, really?
You know who John Rocker is?
Is he a baseball player?
Yeah, he was the guy.
Atlanta.
He was like a racist Atlanta Braves, like went on like a racist tirade.
So he would definitely be a zombie in
yes.
Atlanta.
Yeah. He is a zombie. Yeah. He already is a zombie.
He's a big
zombie. He's like mentally
guy.
A zombie.
Is he patient zero?
Yes,
he's
exactly.
Patient, okay.
Yeah.
And so he's the guy on there now, and that's how they're drumming up their new excitement for the season
like
show.
That.
We have a racist.
Yeah.
What sort of crazy things we do? Probably racist ones?
Yeah. Hey, let's get a racist on the show.
You know, it's not a listen, you know, point of fairness, the racist point of view is not really heavily represented anymore. And, you know, it'd be really nice if
we should get one team all racists, one team non-racists, pit them against each other and see,
let's
who
see
wins.
What happens. Let's see what happens.
What's the big deal?
Okay, you know
that didn't turn out well at all. Yeah, I probably could have told you that.
I'm liking this idea.
No, wait.
I'm liking this idea.
Survivor, how have you been watching since the beginning?
I have, yeah.
He's watched every season.
I went on a couple dates with a girl who was on one of the original seasons of Survivor.
Really?
Like in 2003.
What's the one? Hasselbeck? Who's the one who's the crazy one
not
on The View?
No, Elizabeth Hasselbeck?
Yeah,
I don't think she's on The View anymore.
Oh, whatever she was on. She was in the original season of
she was?
Survivor, yeah. That's where she came from. That's where her claim to fame is.
And no, this girl's name was Colleen.
Okay.
And, she was really sweet, and but I was still a big fat drunk at the time, and
okay.
We went out a few times, and she was like,
"I remember her, very sweet."
Yeah, very sweet.
Wait, was she? Didn't they like stunt cast her in an Adam Sandler movie?
No, it was a Rob Schneider movie, The Animal.
Oh, The Animal, right?
Wow, why do I remember that?
Because I auditioned for that movie, and I remember like I was like, "Oh, I didn't get the past part," but they cast the girl from Survivor who's never acted in anything in it.
You know what the crazy thing?
That's
is?
Not Colleen. Is that Colleen?
That was Colleen. Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the thing: is I remember at the time.
Yeah.
She was attractive enough that like that actually got me to tune into that season of Survivor.
Okay.
And then I remember like when she got stunt cast.
Yeah.
Like it actually seemed like a no-brainer. It was like, oh, it was just a matter of time.
Right.
Because
she's that cute.
This was like 2002 maybe and I was just a gross drinky guy and you know, we went out a couple times and she was really really sweet girl and you know, at a certain point I think she was just. I mean, I completely take the blame for that one.
Okay.
Of just, I think I was just kind of too much of a mess for her.
Where you were in your life?
Where I was in my life? Yeah. And she was just like, you know, I think I kind of just want to be friends. And I was like, you mean you don't want this? You know. So, but she was, But I always really liked her as a person because she's really nice, like really really sweet, down to earth, cool girl. And,
yeah.
And so. Drunk Chris Hardwick or Peter Hardwick, because I refer to him a lot of times.
Pete Hardwick.
He fucked that up.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that didn't make you a fan of the show, Survivor.
No, I mean, I still just wasn't really a reality. Just wasn't really a reality show person.
Right.
Because my previous girlfriend was on Real World London.
You just went through the reality shows, didn't you?
Dude, that's son of a bitch. You didn't know that about Hardwick?
Son of a bitch.
That's his thing, though. He likes he likes that reality.
So,
post,
okay? No, I don't.
Yeah.
Do you know why? Do you know why? Because it's real.
Yeah, it's real.
It's real.
There's a certain reality.
It's unscripted.
To it. Yeah.
It's not
unscripted.
You never know what it's going to do.
You know, yeah. The funny thing about reality television is it's entirely scripted in the sense that it's all like all of the scripting is done in the post process.
Hardwick, you're jaded. It is not fucking scripted.
Do you know
real.
How many girls I've dated who've been
okay.
No, it's really just been just
when
just,
I was dating Janine on Amazing Race. Yeah. You know, I had a really funny situation.
They're crazy. The highlight.
Speaking of John Rocker, he wants to tell you about an Amazing Race. The whites.
Yeah. Yes. That's what he should have been on. That's what he should be on.
No.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's I've not. I've only. It was only. I mean, Jacinda was a long-term relationship. That was 4 years.
Okay.
But, you know, Colleen
you nailed,
was like 3
have
dates.
Have you nailed Omarosa?
I don't know who that is, but...
Bull. How about this? Who haven't you nailed in reality TV?
Everyone
in
reality
else. TV. Jeff Probst.
Jay Wow.
I've not...
Snooki.
I've not nailed either one of them that I'm aware of.
The situation?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. It looks like one time.
Nice abs.
Yeah, well, I basically tried to... I try to drag my dick through the ridges of his abs,
yeah,
like an excited rat through a maze.
They call that an AJ. It's an ab job.
You got an ab job from the situation.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We have a situation here. It's an AJ.
Who do you think has nailed more reality chicks, you or Derek Jeter?
I'm going to say Jeter on this one.
I don't know. He's strictly scripted, I think.
For me, it's just been one.
He's only
okay.
Narrative.
It's just been the girl.
Then
that
you
I
moved
was
over to scripted.
Before. Okay.
Then you moved to scripted.
Yeah.
I moved to scripted.
Right. That's what happened.
I give a lot of notes.
Yeah.
Got a lot of notes.
Yeah.
What about any late night action? You got any like a Chelsea Handler type girl?
No, no.
Now you put him on the spot, Lemmy.
No. Well, no, there's none.
Whose podcast is this anyway?
But none of that.
Hardwick is a rake, though. Listen to the stories he's telling. I love it.
I'm a rake that's unfortunately been locked in the storage shed and has not been taken out for quite a while to do any raking. I think the idea of being a rake is very fun, but I don't think I have the emotional fortitude for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's too strange for me.
But those days are behind you.
They're way. Yeah, I guess yeah. They are. I don't know.
Yeah.
Put
booze and raking behind you.
The booze. I locked the rake up with the booze.
Let me ask you this then.
Sure.
Like, because obviously, you know, Nerdist has blown up gigantic.
I guess so.
fair enough, but I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the early days, like when we were strictly in the podcast world. Do you get like a lot of podcast pussy?
I don't. First of all, no one has ever said that phrase before.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't exist. That's
why.
You
were the first person to talk about all of the crazy podcast puss that comes through.
I had podcast pussy for a while, and then I got tired of it.
So, like, no, chick ever came up to you and was like, I love your podcast.
Well, people do say I love the podcast, but it's not been followed by a, and here's my vagina as a result of that.
Right.
I would like, you know, here's...
But also, it's not like the fan. You're talking about the behind the scene, like another host of another
podcast.
You think,
well, I'll tell you something. You know, it'd be really great if there was like an early adopter groupie who was like, you know, I'm going to start grouping in the tech sector.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
ahead of the curve.
An emerging market.
Right.
Emerging market pussy.
Yeah. Right. Emerging market pussy.
Yeah.
So I feel like that, I don't know. I'm sure there are some.
She's speculating.
Yeah, exactly.
Speculative pussy.
Yeah.
It's a great band name.
It really is. Huh? It really
speculative
is.
Speculative pussy. It's a great band name.
I'd buy their first album for sure.
Have you heard the new Speculative Pussy?
Yeah.
Oh,
holy
their first,
shit, it's good.
Their first single, Ab Job, is really good.
Oh, my God.
Ab Job with the situation.
He's in the video. It's fucking crazy.
It's amazing they got him. How did they get him? Oh, right.
Chris Hardwick is actually fucking his stomach. It's amazing video. You've got to
from
watch
the
it.
Inside,
yeah.
Somehow.
It comes out of
out of the, in a tribute to John Hurt.
Yeah, it's like Alien. You can see you can see Hardwick's face and Dick stretching through the abs and the
Anaconda. That's Owen Wilson.
You know, it's really a spin on the old Dick in the Popcorn Box gag.
Right, it is
the old Dick in the Situation gag. where a girl goes down to grab the situation stick and then my dick explodes through his dick.
Or they just want to feel his abs.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Wow, Situation, you got nice abs. Holy shit, Chris Hardwick's dick's in there.
Yeah, you touch my dick tip through the Situation's abs.
Oh yeah, it would make its way through the podcast community. They'd be like, oh my god, Hardwick is the biggest scumbag of all. You know what his move is? He gets inside of dudes and puts his dick into their dick. And when you start giving them a hand job, you're actually giving him the hand job.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
This is like a stoned riff with no weed.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I mean, I think.
But we're enjoying it now. If we were stoned, do you think we probably wouldn't even be laughing?
I would call that act smelting.
Smelting.
Yeah, because you're basically like smelting down the outer layer to get to
the inner layer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, I totally smelted.
That's next level. That's like smelting is serious shit. Like,
it's really serious.
Hardwick invented smelting.
Yeah. It's a lot. It takes a lot of planning because it's very difficult to surprise a dude with like, you know.
Yeah.
What the plan
it's
is.
It's amazing that they agree to it.
It's true, because you have to get in there somehow and leave it unsullied.
Yeah.
So, like, you're going in. I mean, you're either going in the mouth or the ass to climb in there.
But then the situation is getting it from both ends, so he's probably happy about it, too.
I guess it's like an awesome hamster jam. Like, you got Hardwick up your ass and in your dick.
No, actually, I think hamster jam is opening
for speculative
pussy. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Double bill.
Hamster jam.
Oh, man.
They're so good.
Yeah.
It's just a hamster on a turntable, and he's spinning because he'll run really fast, and then that'll spin the album, and then he'll stop.
Oh, right.
And then it's really adorable.
By the way, have you...
some sick beats,
some wiki-wikis.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen that new Kia ad? You know how they do the hamsters in their Kia cars?
Yeah.
And they've got the new one where like they start at like these high heel shoes and an awesome like tight black, like Sandy from Grease.
Right.
Outfit, like, you know, nice boobs and everything, and then it's got a hamster head on it.
Oh, that's
I haven't seen that.
It's so disturbing.
That'll end up on our confused boners on Reddit.
I know.
Oh, you know what? It should, because
it may have.
Because you watch it like, ooh, can't wait, and then it's a hamster head with like buck teeth, and it's fucking disgusting. It's so gross.
Or is it? Or what if that's when you discover your fetish? I'm sure there's a percentage of people who are like, uh-huh. God damn it, now I have that. Like, that's a thing that they...
It's got a hamster head.
Why am I a boner?
Oh, God. What's that do about that?
Oh, I had a whole night of smelting planned, and now this.
Now,
what if you were smelting the situation and he started to jerk off about the hamster ad? How would you feel about that?
Yeah.
It benefits everyone.
I think you'd have to let it go, right? Because if a guy is willing to let you enter him and basically sheath your dick with his dick, then you sort of deserve whatever you get.
Yeah, because to do that, you have to unstuff his dick. Like, you have to take the sponge out and you're putting yours in there. So where do you put the sponge?
Gosh. So I was smelting the situation the other night. And,
do you think the situation's ears are burning right now? Or his abs are burning? Or his dick is burning? Something's burning.
His abs are burning. His sponge is burning.
Yeah, the sponge is on fire right now.
I'm very delighted by the complexity of where this riff went. This
right, like right off the bat, like it started there.
This is like the Marianas Trench of smelted dick riffs, I think.
Smelting. By the way, I like your... Is this your day planner?
No, this is the guest book.
Okay.
So when we're done, you'll sign this.
Is that made from real Wookiee fur?
Yes. A lot of Wookiee activists don't appreciate that, but I try to remind them this is vintage Wookiee fur. So it was before the embargo on the Wookiee trade.
Yeah. Nobody throws paint on you.
Nobody throws paint. Okay. It's sort of like, you know, if you have taxidermy that's 100 years old, it's like it's okay.
It's not.
I just want you to know this is not new Wookiee.
Okay.
This is
it happened a long
because I mean galaxy very far.
Yeah. But those Wookiee poachers are fucking dicks. They're such dicks.
They really are.
They're just, I mean, they have no scruples.
The bottom of the barrel.
You know?
Yeah.
Sure.
It's a lot of fets. Like, how many?
Yeah, there's Boba, there's Baba.
There's Keith Fett.
Joby.
Bilbo.
Oh, yeah. Freddy.
Bilbo Fett.
Stan Fett.
I don't know.
Who it was not really in support of all of that, you know, but
went along
meek.
For the ride.
He's too meek to fucking speak up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jerk.
I guarantee you, if you were to take a deep dive on, if you go to Wikipedia, which is the Star Wars wiki, Star Wars wiki. There are more Fetts than you
could ever imagine.
You could ever imagine in the extended Star Wars universe. There might be a Stan Fett.
Well, they're all clones, right?
A lot of them.
Is there like a, you know how they have those like pimp name generators or porn name generators? Do they have like a Fett name? Or you can really just pick one.
You could just pick one.
Yeah.
Go with Chris Fett.
Chris Fett's pretty good. Chris Fett sounds like a dick though.
Chris Fett.
Chris Fett's the guy. Like he's like Boba Fett's douchey son who's like, you fucking know who my dad is?
Yeah.
I'm Chris Fett. My dad's fucking Boba Fett.
Yeah.
He'll fucking hunt your shit down. Yeah. Let me into this club.
Yeah.
He drives. I want to see speculative pussy.
Yeah.
He's got feathered blonde hair, Chris Fett.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, he won't wear a helmet.
Yeah.
He won't wear a helmet. He wears leather pants.
He in lieu of the helmet, he wears a knit cap to the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wears like Tatooine affliction shirt, so it has like a bantha on it with the barbed wire around it.
Yeah.
Or that's Ed Hardy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all the same.
It's all the same.
Tight affliction shirt, shaved dick.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
All of his dicks are shaved.
Yeah.
All of his dicks.
Let's just assume that there's probably.
Yeah, he's got three dicks. They're all shaved. Except the one in the back because he can't get to that.
It's fucking like Jawa skulls.
Yeah.
You know, on tats.
Yeah.
On him. He's such a fucking prick.
He's a dick.
Chris he's so Fett. Prick. It's just like, you know, every weekend when they started doing those really cool nights at the Mos Eisley Cantina, and he's just. he's just like arguing with the bouncers the whole time.
Yeah. You know who my dad is? You fucking know?
Yeah. But you know the thing about it and the infuriating thing is that he just gets laid.
Nonstop.
Everyone.
Nonstop.
Yeah, like Queen Amidala. He fucked her.
Fucked Queen Amidala.
And she knew what she was doing.
And she was like, I know, I'm sorry, you know, I was going through a phase.
Yeah. I just forgot Bad Boys. I really
was into them. Yeah.
Yeah. That's when like his arch enemy like finally dates Queen Amidala and he finds out that she actually nailed Chris Fett.
Well, she
Chris Fett tells him.
I mean, because after she probably got mildly turned on after Anakin started to make the transformation to the dark side.
Right.
Yeah, but of course, for political reasons, like she couldn't really like it was just bad politics for her to be fucking him.
It's
so
like
it was
dating a racist.
Yeah. So yeah. So I mean, first of all, Darth Vader, blackface, like so unreasonably uncool.
Yeah. Right.
And so she kind of like started. Like she started dipping in the Fett waters.
She took up with Chris Fett.
Yeah.
Chris Fett. Yeah. It's a fucking word. He has a band, but they're not that good.
Yeah.
Dude, tongues were wagging.
He gets to open, like he gets to open at Jabba's palace, but just because of who his dad is.
Yeah.
He opens for Max Rebo, the Max Rebo band.
I don't know who Max Rebo is.
Max Rebo is the little blue sort of elephant.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you know every, do you know every Star Wars creature name?
Not every, but I know quite a few of them.
I used to get a lot of action from being able to say who Salacious Crumb was.
Oh, Salacious Crumb, yeah.
Yeah, Salacious Crumb.
But we
favorite.
Made a Salacious
You got action
Crumb.
For that? How do you get action for that?
That's at a certain time, though, right?
High school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like when you're like, you know the name of the Jabba the Hutt's little sidekick? Salacious Crumb.
Oh,
no
yeah.
Way.
Well, of course, all those chicks, and then they're called Crumb Hums, who will fuck a guy who knows
Salacious they give you a
Crumb is.
Well, you made a Salacious Crumb joke on stage recently, and it got crickets.
Did it?
Yeah.
Because no one knew who...
Salacious Crickets?
No one knew. Yeah, Salacious Crickets. Nobody knew. Hmm. Which Do you remember that? Like you thought it'd be a funny...
Were we in San Diego around Comic-Con?
No, we weren't.
If it was a Comic-Con, it would have gone over well.
Yeah. They would have loved it.
Yeah, you're right.
If you were in like Peoria, then maybe not so much.
We were just talking about Peoria 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Why?
Dan Conlon texted me. Have you performed at...
The Jukebox? Have
no.
Been there?
Peoria?
We've done it a couple times.
It's a fun club.
Yeah. It's good.
They hate Salacious Crumb jokes, though.
Yeah, but they wouldn't get them.
Oh, my God.
They wouldn't get them.
Don't bring those.
Yeah. No, do not talk Salacious Crumb in Peoria, Illinois. They'll fucking throw tomatoes at you.
Are you guys doing stuff on the road a lot?
Yeah. On and off. We're going to go back out a bunch of dates in the fall.
Cool.
But we kind of took the summer off a little bit, I think.
Yeah. We're doing Boston and D.C. in October. Those are our next two.
Yeah.
Boston.
Which is the new club there?
Uh huh.
We've never been there.
Yeah, and then the Arlington Draft House, which is
Which is so great,
so much fun.
Yeah, I've done that a couple times.
Yeah,
what a great venue.
Yeah, we didn't. Like, sometimes I'll show, like, one of our movies, and then, like, on Thursday night, and then we do shows, like, Friday, Saturday night or something.
But, yeah, it's pretty fun.
What do you show? What would you show on the road?
I don't know. They've done, we've done, they usually have, like, a beer fest event when we go there, and they'll have, like, a beer fest thing. But I know they've done Super Troopers, too. Super Troopers also in there. I know that. But,
I think I auditioned for Beer Fest.
You did?
To be a German?
As a German?
I don't remember.
Did you audition for Jay? Was it Jay? The
All
Indian guy?
All I remember is that it was in, like, Venice or Santa Monica.
Yeah, Mary Vernou's.
I auditioned for Beer Fest.
It must have been a German guy, right?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Do you do a German accent?
It's not to say don't do a German accent.
Yeah, there you go.
Sometimes I can't do that.
I wonder if I was there.
I don't remember.
I was not there. I know that because... I missed all those German auditions.
I know is that Chris Hardwick was not in PFS.
That's a good German accent.
I can't stop doing it now.
No,
it's highly
addictive. He's frozen.
No, if you came in with that German accent, we'd be like, fuck yeah. Because there are a lot of bad German accents. That's a good one.
I play melodica for Speculative Pussy. It's a good band.
I'll tell you, I must not have been there because that's the kind of German I like. Like, I want, it's like mischievous German. It's like,
some of my friends and I are going out smelting tonight. If you would like to join.
It's fetish German.
It's good.
It is.
It's high-heeled shoes behind closed doors, garter belt, and putting your nuts in a vice German. S&M German. Mischief German. But that's smelting in Europe is a whole different ball of wax.
In Germany? Smelting?
Well, for the record, Chris Hardwick did smelting in a German accent.
Oh, that's
Who is this Chris Hardwick? My name was Hans.
Hans Hardwick.
That was the best German Hans name Hardwick. I could come up with.
Yeah.
But you're crushing it. That German accent is really good.
Right. And that's his German evil laugh.
Prepare to be smelted.
But no.
Prepare? What do I need to do to prepare?
Could you imagine Darth Vader saying, prepare to be smelted? Yeah. As he boarded your ship?
You're blown at that point, man.
Literally.
Yeah, and fucked.
Yeah, literally. No, smelting in Europe would be like the whole, because you'd have the whole uncircumcised thing going.
Oh, yeah.
So that would be like, you know, you'd have a second layer on top of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there would definitely be a second step to that process.
Do you is it possible that we're losing listeners right now? Like people who like they stuck with us through the whole smelt riff?
I think what is happening is we're losing listeners to people who are like, I have to smelt right now.
I have to go smelt. I gotta try this out. This is a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's smelterific is what I thought you were gonna say.
Smelterific, yeah.
Yeah.
You can go smelting.
But please don't smelt during. Yeah,
not during the show.
Please don't smelt during the show.
Do you do a lot of live dates these days still, or no? Are you too busy with other stuff?
I usually take the summer off, like you guys said, because it's live shows or people just don't go out to live shows as much during the summer.
Yeah, they're doing
and
stuff in the sun.
And then I just did the Oddball Comedy Tour, so that was like 14 cities, and then
how many nights? Like it was like every night a different city kind of thing. Wow.
Yeah. And then I guess once the winter rolls around, I'll start doing it's tricky because when Talking Dead comes back, it's difficult for me to go on the road as much because I can't travel on the Sunday because our show's live.
It's live, right.
Okay. So, but in winter, like in between, I'll be out a lot.
Yeah.
I'll be out in a lot of cities doing stand-ups because... I need to do another special soon.
How did the Oddball Comedy Tour work? Because I saw ads for it and I thought it looked really interesting. But like, did you do 45 minutes or do you do 15?
No, I did 15 to 20.
Yeah,
there were usually like 8 comics.
Yeah.
four comics and then an intermission and then 4 comics and Louis was headlining most of them.
Yeah,
and so he could do anywhere between a half hour to an hour.
Up to 3 hours.
Right. He never did. And then, there were other people like Aziz or Bill Burr or Sarah Silverman. They could do 25 or 30. And then I was doing, then the rest of us were doing 15 to 20.
Yeah.
And would you do like old material or are you trying to do like new material to get ready for a special?
No, I was doing very tested material.
Okay.
And well mixed in with, I fuck around with the audience a lot.
Yeah.
So, like half of my set is just talking to people in the audience and then just sort of weaving in bits. But, because I just like talking to people. But,
hey, what's your name? What do you do for work?
Fuck your shoes. You know, like what a douche.
Crowd work.
Yeah.
Crowd work.
Suck it.
Yeah.
Ma'am.
What are you drinking?
Yeah. Piss. Ah, good night.
Bada-boom.
Hey. So, yeah, no, but, you know, it's the audiences were too big for me to really feel like I'm going to workshop, you know, so I didn't really, I didn't really workshop. Yeah. But
you have to do that before you shoot a special, right?
Yes. Yeah. You really have to do that a lot.
Yeah. And you're going to.
No, I have to. It was hard, you know, at the beginning of the Oddball Tour, it was harder because my. It was hard, like, figuring out which 15 minutes from my set to do.
Yeah.
Because it's all...
Great.
It was...
I can't decide. It's all too good.
It was all connected. Like all the bits were connected into, like, a longer hour-long show.
Because what happens is I feel like I'm depriving the audience if I do this 15 minutes. But then, what? Like, they won't have this.
I just feel bad for them because they don't know what they're missing.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's sort of like feeling bad for a baby who doesn't know what an orgasm feels like.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a pitiful
thing. You know he will someday,
right?
But
get over it.
Yeah, he'll figure it out. But the audience is it's like it was just trying to figure out how to condense because there's a lot of I don't know. I wrote the set as an hour.
Yeah, yeah, and so it's stuff. So it's like figuring
out
like
how do I take right. But as the shows progressed, I figured out like what the 15-minute set was,
right.
and then the tour was done.
Right, so, right.
That's it.
That's it. So yeah, do you guys? How much do you write?
You mean stand-up comedy or like...
Yeah, how much do you write? I mean, obviously, I'm sure you write scripted stuff. That probably never ends.
That a lot.
Yeah.
But we, we did... I mean, we just started doing stand-up like... I guess it's been like 5 years now.
We did a Broken Lizard tour during the writer's strike.
That's how it kind of started. Like, we got back on the road there. Because we were originally a sketch group.
Right.
We never did stand-up, really.
Yeah. And we didn't tour. We were just in New York City, but we did a Broken Lizard... it was actually like half sketch, half stand up, and then like it was so annoying to bring like all the costumes for the sketches. I mean, we had the Super Troopers costumes, we had the Beer Fest costumes, then we had togas, we had like wigs, and we had two very large double-ended dildos that smelled like grape
for the sketch.
Yeah,
for the Super Troopers sketch.
Sure.
Yeah,
various sketches.
But then it was like after that, Kevin and I just loved the stand up so much.
We have to carry uniforms around.
It's very freeing to just be like, oh, I just have to talk into a microphone?
Yeah,
that's it?
That's it.
Because, you know, like you're so bound by, you get to a city, it's like, oh, the box of costumes didn't make it through, and then now we're in danger of not being able to do our thing.
Where are the belts? Who brought the belts?
Yeah.
Oh, you got them.
Do this thing with no belts.
Oh, fuck, my pants are going to fall down.
Again.
But we just got, I mean, it got to the point where we were like tired of it. And we were getting into the stand-up stuff, because some of the other guys, like Jay Chandrasekhar, had done stand-up in their past, and we'd never done it, so... We kind of said to our agent, like, hey, we want to try this out. This is like a muscle we never flexed before, you know? And so he started booking us around to clubs. And the lucky thing is that we have the resume of the movies, which allows you to draw an audience.
Of course, yeah.
But we cheated.
Yeah, but it's lucky in one respect that you can headline and you can draw the audience, but it's not lucky. It's unlucky in that, like, we haven't sharpened our teeth. We haven't cut our teeth on, like, dealing with a heckler, for instance.
Sure.
You know, like the first time I did stand-up comedy, I was like, I didn't know that you can go out there and try your jokes and they're going to bomb.
Yeah.
And I wasn't prepared for that. And so it's like I did my first joke and it sucked. And then I was like, I started like short circuit.
Yeah.
Because I was like, now what do I do? This is awful.
Does not compute.
Yeah.
But the cool thing was then you asked the agent to throw you to the wolves.
Yeah.
And which he really did.
He really did. I was like, I love it. I love this so much. I want to do this. And he's like, well, it's different than doing it in front of audiences that are coming pay to see you. You should do it for a random audience. And I was like, let's do it. And so he put me up at the Improv for a teen tour.
Oh, the teen tours.
Yeah.
My God.
Like 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
All right. So just let me just quickly explain to the podcast audience who is not shut off the podcast to start smelting vigorously. The teen tours, the Improv during the summer gets these teen tour groups, and I guess that they're tour groups from other cities, and these kids are like touring the country, touring California,
it's like
whatever.
Field trips. Or something.
They're basically a big field trip, and so, but what you have at the Improv in the early evening. Some nights, which is already great for comedy, is like 200, like a busload of 13 to 17 year olds with counselors who are also younger than we are.
Yeah. Yes,
yes. And, you know, they're the ripe old age of usually like 24.
Yeah.
And so it's just a bunch of teenage kids, you know, with smartphones and
no alcohol.
No alcohol. Right. And also kids are fidgety. They don't like to listen. They're posturing for one another.
And there's certain material that they're uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like
well, I did 15 minutes of masturbation.
See, that's what you actually masturbated or you just talked about it?
I mimed it.
Okay.
I mimed it.
Well, then they should have been fine with that.
But the 15-year-old is not comfortable with that as a joke yet.
None of them.
Because they're still figuring it out.
Yeah. To make that... To enjoy that joke, you have to be of the age where you can admit that you masturbate.
Right, right.
Which for a lot of people, you know, still doesn't even happen. You know.
Well, if I ever do, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
But they, at a certain point during the show, and hopefully you're not lucky enough to experience this, but they give all the kids ice cream. So there's a moment during the show where like 200 bowls of ice cream drop on the tables. And then they're really not interested in anything you have to say. So it is it's an exercise in, you know, I'll tell you what it feels like. It almost feels like it's a weird Twilight Zone episode or a weird M. Night Shyamalan movie where you have died and you don't know you're dead and yeah. No one can see you. And so you're just like, I don't get it. What is wrong with you people? You know, yeah. It's like, it's sort of, it's kind of like that.
I actually wish that had happened. Right about the time I was talking about how I had a friend who used to masturbate by fucking his teddy bear. And it was Kevin, actually. And then I mimed it. I did it my impression.
Not true.
Sounds true.
Not true.
It sounds true.
I did my impression of Kevin's teddy bear getting fucked by Kevin. So I'm literally
dead-eyed.
I'm bent
like
over
a
chair getting pushed and going, help me, help me. And I'm like, a girl literally says, please stop.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, I mean, the girls looked at me like I was the devil. Like, you know, with that, what was her name? Like Marona, Moroni, not impressed.
Gymnast.
The gymnast,
yeah.
Not impressed face.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And the boys are totally uncomfortable. It was awful, but I called him up afterwards and was like, I have to thank you because that was 15 minutes of me bombing. And I actually came away with a lot of strength from that. And it
was you learn
powerful.
A lot. You learn a lot from bombing. It's good. I'm curious. So you fucked this anywhere from behind? Like you didn't want to see it face to face?
No, but it wasn't really me. What happened was he had another friend who did it. And when we were doing our Broken Lizard tour, he started doing the routine as it was me so that the audience would appreciate that the other guy is there.
Oh,
who
gotcha.
Did it. So he started attributing this bear fucking to me.
Sure.
Which I never did. But then my parents came to see the show.
Yeah.
And my mom knows the teddy bear that I had when I was a little kid. And she's like, oh my God. And then she like had this epiphany and she came back and stayed. You're so upset. And I'm like trying to explain to her, it's not me.
And she was like, I know that teddy bear. That's Squeaky.
What is now?
Yeah, it is. Now it's Krusty. Now it's Krusty.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey, ho, ho.
Does it, wait, so did that person like cut a slit in it or just fuck the surface of it?
It's a good question.
Okay.
It's a good question.
Why? I would have investigated further because it's...
Oh, no, yeah. I know the answer now.
Oh, good. Okay,
I know the answer now. I assumed that he put a hole in it and fucked it, but what he told me is actually he would put it on the mattress and he would fuck the space between it and the mattress.
Oh. So he would just jizz on... It was just like mattress bear jizz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was combo mattress yeah. bear jizz.
It probably like, you know, like whoever cleaned his sheets would find like little... tufts of teddy bear fur stuck to the mattress.
It'd be funny if their housekeeper was a giant bear.
Yeah.
And she was just like, I will help you, little friend.
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah.
That's such a strange... Mm-hmm.
Well, no.
Such a strange way to go about it.
It is.
Well, this whole routine was about... I had culled together. One such story that I included in that routine was attributed to the proper person. It was our friend Jay Chandrasekhar.
Okay.
And what he used to do... He had a poster of... He says Wonder Woman. I remembered it as being Too Close
it
for
was
Comfort.
Too Close for Comfort Girls.
Yeah. You remember Too Close for Comfort?
Too Close for Comfort?
Yes.
Lydia Cornell.
Which also
Lydia
describes
and,
the bear in the mattress.
Yeah, exactly.
So who's the brunette?
She's Deborah Van Valkenburg.
Yeah, okay. Right. Okay.
And what he would do is pulled off his pants, and then he'd go to the wall. The poster was on the wall, and he would kiss the poster and fuck the wall.
Wait, how do you fuck the wall?
Yeah, that's what it is. He would put his boner... press it flat up against the wall.
Oh, up against, like flush with the wall.
Yeah, just smear it all over the, like, just slide it along the
And then just,
plaster.
Like, jizz on the poster, or just, like...
Or however high up he could shoot. I don't know.
Was there... That would explain all the little hash marks, like, all the way up the...
Yeah, I'm getting there.
14 years, 15 yeah. years, old, like... So,
yeah, you're measuring your progress, your growth.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Here's when I was 15. Here's when I was 25.
Yeah. And then it starts to go down again as you get older. He's like, oh.
I haven't done it for a week. I'm going to do it right over Monroe's head.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Rush.
That's a great show, by the way.
It was a good show. Really, yeah. It really lost a lot for me when he moved across the... Like, they did a spinoff after Too Close.
Monroe moved. A Monroe spinoff?
No, they did a spinoff with Ted Knight's character.
Oh, without the girls?
Yeah, without the girls.
Oh, I don't remember that.
And it was just him, and they moved. I think it was called, like, look it up, Katie. I think it was called, like, Across the Bay or something. Like, he moved, because they were in San, the show took place in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And then he moved, and it was just him working as a cartoonist at the newspaper, I think.
Huh.
Okay. I kind of remember that, actually.
I don't.
What? Oh, wait, that was the Ted Knight show. Yeah, just look up Ted Knight. No, that's a spinoff of the, yeah. Just look up Ted Knight. Oh, the proposed 1983 was a pilot. No, but that wasn't. It wasn't called Family Business. Just look up Ted Knight on IMDb.
It's too bad you don't have the Google glasses, because you could just like just look right up to the right and find that information.
I would have been
Night and Day.
Ted Knight.
Gotta be a night pun.
Okay.
No. It was called
Just Another Night.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. San Francisco Nights.
No, man. No, it definitely happened. Shit.
Okay, wait, the Knights.
Knight in Shining Armor.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, that'd be good.
Silent Night. Not Silent Night.
No.
That was the Ted Baxter show?
I don't know if they did a Ted Baxter show. Did they do a Ted Baxter show?
I don't think so. I don't think they spun that
off. It was Mary Tyler Moore spun off Phyllis and Rhoda.
Yep, off of Mary Tyler Moore.
And there was a Ted Baxter show.
Lou Grant,
which was a drama.
But now that's interesting to me. Yeah, it's like, has any other show, sitcom, ever spun off into a drama?
MASH, Trapper John M.D.
Yeah. Oh, nice job.
That's kind of a drama.
That's a real drama.
Yeah.
Okay, good call.
Thanks, bro.
Maybe the spinoff of Too Close for Comfort was Super Friends.
It might have been.
Meanwhile, Aquaman summons a nearby school of narwhals.
Do you remember what his cartoon that he drew was in the what his
Cosmic
was?
Cow.
It was a cow, yeah. Cosmic Cow, better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got
Hardwick
it.
Hardwick knows.
Why do I remember
he
these
knows.
Things?
Have you used Google Glass?
I've never used them, no.
I would imagine that they would send you a pair.
Now they're gonna.
They would have for $1,500, but I guess I just sort of felt like, I mean, I've been a tech enthusiast long enough to know like what things I would use twice and then put down.
Yeah.
And I was dubious about the long-term functionality benefits of Google Glass. Mm-hmm. And then also, I don't always like my early adopterhood to be that out in the open. Or it's just like, you know, obviously I ordered the new, you know, like obviously I ordered the new phones whenever they come out, but that's a little less obvious than just like wearing these kind of obnoxious robot glasses everywhere. And
getting kicked out of movie theater.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Looking at ladies walking down the street and acting like they're X-ray glasses and going like, hubba, hubba. You know, like that's a very obnoxious thing to do.
It is. It is.
So, I've not actually played with the Google glasses yet.
I'm curious about the Google glasses.
Well, it doesn't seem like they're catching on to me.
No, because, well, that's the knock on them is that they're too douchey.
Oh.
Well, I got the Bing shades. I just made that up.
I believed it.
Do
you see? I cocked my head. Like,
oh, great! What's the feature in that?
No, everyone's tripping out about Oculus Rift now. So it's like
that. Right. We had Kevin Pereira on our podcast.
Oh yeah, it was fantastic.
And he went nuts over Oculus.
We started
Rift.
Talking about it, and he reached a new level of animation.
I played with it a little bit at the at Comic-Con this year. They there was a Legendary booth that had an Oculus Rift set up for, you know, like being inside a Jaeger, like in Pac Rim. Mm-hmm. And it's fucking fantastic. I mean, it feels like the kind of virtual reality that was promised to us in Lawnmower Man.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just
Is Legendary involved in it somehow or no?
I don't think they're involved in the device itself.
You'd be surprised.
I wish that sentence had gone longer. I would like to have seen how high your voice could have gone.
Legendary involved in it?
No, because I read that.
They made Beer Fest.
They did Beer Fest.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
They made Beer Fest, you know.
Beer Fest is legendary.
Now they could just, they would just put you in Beer Fest too.
Oh, yeah. Tommy Tuttle would be like, Hardwick, you're in.
Mr. Tuttle, this is Chris Hardwick calling. I would love to be in Beer Fest too.
Yeah. You're in.
Okay.
And by the way, Kevin is on a not only a first name basis with him, but on a nickname, like yeah. Tommy. Hey, Tommy Tull.
He's the kind of guy who's got to be a Tommy Tull.
Yeah. I don't think he is a Tommy Tull. I've only ever called him Thomas.
But like in, like, you know, he was like a frat boy at Hamilton College. He went to Hamilton College.
Yeah.
And which is right near where we went to school. And so he had to be a Tommy. Come on.
Yeah.
I'll throw it around the office one day and see how it lands.
See what he see what he says? He'd have me killed by some Chinese investor.
No, he's only ever been, you know, he's only ever been super nice to me. So I'd feel bad just on a human level.
Yeah.
If it was just like, if it didn't land.
No, he's like, a super nice guy. He invited us, he like plays in a band or something. He invited us to come see his band.
Jethro Tull. Yeah.
There you go.
Boom. Yeah.
Is Ian Anderson?
Yeah. Yeah. He plays the flute. he stands on one foot.
The flute.
Have you ever seen the Rock and Roll Circus, Rolling Stones Rock and Roll Circus?
No.
It's wonderful.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But like I always remembered Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull.
Explain what it is. It's a film.
I will.
Yeah, okay.
But being a very like Shakespearean look, like he looked like William Shakespeare and he was an older gentleman to me.
Ian Anderson.
Yeah. And then we had, so in 1968, the Rolling Stones did a thing called the Rock and Roll Circus. And it was basically like they had, I think the idea was that they were going to do
show almost.
Yeah, like rock and roll novelty acts.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like there was a super group called the Dirty Mac, and that was Keith Richards, John Lennon, Eric Clapton, and then Mitch Mitchell
from Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, drumming from Jimi Hendrix. And then like The Who performed their first ever mini rock opera on it. It was just like they were trying new things, and the Stones performed all the stuff from Beggar's Banquet that had never been heard before. And it was like, but
it was in a circus tent and it was,
and they're all, there's people around and it was, you know, like, but so Jethro Tull, it was the first time they ever appeared to anybody, and they're super young, and the song they sing is a song like what's called a song for Jeffrey is what it's called. And they're awesome.
And then he breaks into the flute.
He's up on one foot though. He's kind of crazy. He's playing flute on one foot.
Yeah.
It's really a great, like a Taj
Mahal.
Is it
crushed? People like fucking go crazy.
Oh my God.
It crushes.
But the cool thing is like all the bands are sitting in they're the audience. So it's like the Stones and the Who and like all these guys are sitting there watching these.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool thing to watch.
And then between the bands, they have sketches. Like there's an improv between Mick Jagger and John Lennon.
Yeah.
Where they're eating Chinese food and riffing.
We need an occupation.
It's not too far
location.
Off.
Yeah.
Chinese restaurant owner.
Oh no, ma'am, you're going into labor.
That's what it is. And then it was unreleased because the Stones thought that their performance was not as good as anybody else's.
Oh no.
And so they didn't release it until like the late 90s when they put it out on the big screen, and now it's available. It really is a fantastic,
it's amazing
docu-rock-you.
Netflix that business?
You can.
You could.
Yeah.
Do that. Netflix that shit.
Yep. Yeah. We used to, back before all that surround sound stuff, we used to gather at my house, and I had the VHS tape, and then I had the CD. And we would literally, we would smoke pot and get drunk, all of Broken Lizard.
Yeah.
And it would take me like 15 tries to sync up.
Yeah, you had to sync the CD to the
that's
stereo.
And then we'd crank it.
Yeah. It's like, you know, Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah, but it was just one song. Do you remember? We only did the Taj Mahal song.
Yeah, the Taj Mahal song, yeah.
Which was an amazing song, too.
I'm going to watch the shit out of that.
Yeah, watch it. You'll really
like it. Taj Mahal's thing, like he's a folk singer. And very mellow guy, and his thing, he came out and played like a hard rock tune, which is amazing.
Yeah,
which is amazing.
All right, so
go watch it, everybody.
Netflix queue as well.
Rock and Roll Circus,
along with Beer Fest. People, hopefully, people know that you guys host Chewin' It, which
we're part of the Nerdist plan to take over the world.
Yes,
we're helping to take over the world.
Thank you for the opportunity,
the
Mr.
Nerdist
Hardwick,
for all that podcast pussy.
The podcast pussy's rolling in.
That's why we did it.
Sweet rolling in.
That's why we did
audio
it.
Content pussy.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is nice. It's like you go on the road. One of the pleasures of going on the road is that, like,
get away from your kids.
Is although you can still hear their cries in your ear. Like, even when I try to sleep at night, I hear babies crying.
I hear you from across the country.
True. Yeah, I do. But is the people who come up to you and they're like, I'm a fan of Chewin' It. And you're like, oh, fuck yeah.
Well, it's nice because it's...
it's surprising. It's
such
great.
A personal
it is.
Thing. I mean, like, you know, you make a movie, it's a big, you know, it's a very presentational, these are characters, this is the thing we wrote. Obviously, it means a lot to you, but it's you have a layer of separation from when you're just talking into microphones and people go, hey, I like that. That means that's probably a person that you would hang out with because they relate to you.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. I think they, as opposed to the movies that we make or whatever, they feel like they're part of the conversation with you, which is cool. And you know, I, it's always fun to meet these people. But I think that was what's fun about doing it anyway, which, you know, we had been doing guests on a bunch of them, and we got to know Katie, and she's like, why don't we try to put this thing together? And it was fun. I mean, you know, you talk to people that you don't get a chance to talk to. We talk to friends we haven't heard from in a long time. You know, it's a blast.
And you, I know, and you guys had Carrie Clifford on too, who I think is so fucking funny.
Yeah, she's great.
We went to college with Carrie. So.
Did you really?
Yeah, we're old friends with Carrie Clifford.
Yeah.
I love Carrie Clifford.
Yeah, she's so great.
She's amazing. She's been a guest a couple times.
Yeah.
It you know, with Cliffy, when we have her on the show, it's so dirty.
Do you think the smelting thing that just happened on this show, Lemmy descends into a new level of junior high school when he's with Cliffy?
Yeah, well, Cliffy and I, you know, like, we just have a great relationship, and she's the godmother of my first son.
Oh, wow.
And, but so I can talk to her any way I want to, and I do, and I like it. But the funny thing is that her father-in-law, so like the first time she was on it delved, like, we got right into her being bukkakeed and like sleeping with everybody at Colgate where we went to college and like her three-way activity. Oh, it's all, you know, made up, but like, or is it? But her father-in-law has like a Google alert for whenever her name appears in the press or whatever
shit.
It is. Yeah. And so he saw that she was on the podcast.
He's a hardcore conservative, like a hardcore Republican.
Yeah. And he tuned in to listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
And it was about...
Like, he was appalled.
He was appalled.
Yeah.
She got in trouble for that one.
He was so appalled, he had to fuck a teddy bear on a mattress.
Yeah, he smelted a teddy bear.
I just saw in a commercial Amy, Carrie's old sketch partner.
Amy...
Clifford and...
Kid? There's Clifford
Amy and Kid, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't even know what she looks like. I know that she's...
That's when I first met Carrie, so that was probably like 10 years ago.
At the I.O. or...?
I probably met her through my ex-girlfriend Janet because of Sketchfest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In San Francisco. Clifford and Kid. And so fucking funny. God, they're so funny.
Yeah. She's great.
Cliffy's a great improviser. She does like the Wazowski and Clifford.
Yeah.
And then she does the
Sky and Nancy,
which is more of a two-person stand-up.
With Mark Evan Jackson. You guys know Mark Evan Jackson.
Of course, yeah, Mark. Right. I know Mark from Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Yeah. He's been in a couple of our movies, too.
Yeah.
They all start to, all the fucking continents.
Yeah, it all melds together.
Crash together.
Yeah,
it is. Point. It does.
But just so people know, you have guests on, but then you also just talk about the writing process. You guys just fuck around together.
Yeah, we do two kinds of, sometimes we have guests because it is our opinion that, you know, people will just... A lot of people just say, okay, oh, I want to hear that guest, if they're just randomly tuning into your podcast.
Like, right. That's how we find you get new listeners,
right?
Is they're interested in the guest you have. And so we try to mix it up.
Yeah. But then sometimes, you know, we'll just do two-man podcasts and we'll talk about whatever. And
what it takes to pitch a movie or write a movie. Or we did one on like the funny audition stories, which, you know, we all have funny audition stories, you know.
Yeah. Just stories from the road. Things like that. But yeah, one thing that a lot of people have been responding to is sort of the behind-the-scenes stuff, the writing, the pitching, the
movie stuff,
auditions, right. Yeah. But that's it. I mean, it's like a pretty fun podcast, and we've had some good guests on there. It was funny because like, I live out by Calabasas, and I went to a restaurant out there and saw Dave Grohl.
Oh, yeah.
This is just like a couple days ago, and my in with him was going to be, I'm going to be on Chris Hardwick's podcast. And I thought better of it. I decided not to approach him.
But what do you think? What if Dave was sitting looking at you guys going, I hope they do Chris's podcast someday.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Those guys should really hook up.
Yeah, well, because we know he's a fan. Like, we saw a great picture of him at Sundance. Like Sundance, I think last year or the year before, did like a history of Sundance.
Or, something like that.
Yeah, with like, it was sort of like an exhibit of like Sundance through the years with like for us they got our uniforms and some of the bales of pot
from Super Troopers.
Yeah, like we sent them the stuff and like the bulletproof jockstrap that I wore and like they made a display of it, and there was a great photo of Dave Grohl like in front of the Super Troopers uniforms.
Oh, that's cool.
Which was cool.
Yeah.
So I suppose I could have, you know, just
sure, you could have done that.
Introduced myself to him.
Also, we've had Josh Homme on the
Right. Oh, Josh is so fucking funny.
Yeah. He's amazing.
God damn it, he's funny.
He's almost too funny.
He's almost too funny. I mean,
you can't keep up with him.
If you met him, you would think, and you didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, this guy's like an improviser. He's a comic.
Yeah, yeah.
He's probably a groundling or something.
Yeah.
And
because he makes like references and stuff, and you're like, holy shit, like you forget that. I mean, you're talking to a musician.
Yeah,
he's lightning fast.
It's coming so fast and it's so deep. Some of it is like he's coming
deep
so
cuts.
Fast and it's so deep.
Yeah,
well, is he smelting
you?
Wow,
smelting or sheathing.
But like I remember one time, I think it was at the Slam and Salmon premiere.
Yeah,
he came with Jesse from Eagles of Death Metal.
Yeah,
and the two of them, and Troy, the guitar player from Queens of the Stone Age, they were riffing, and I was standing with them. They were riffing so hard and fast and so well, and it was like shut up, guys. Like, I can't fucking keep up with you.
That's when you fucking whip out a guitar and just start like ripping
check
into
what
it.
I got.
Yeah.
Check this out.
Great job. Great job.
Yeah. No, Homie's great. And who else? We have John Popper on our podcast.
We did. We have Popper.
You did?
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
That was a fun episode. Because we were, that was after a Blues Traveler show.
Yeah.
And we left the backstage area to go back to his hotel.
And we got drunk by the side of the pool.
Yeah. And he sang songs and played the harmonica.
Serenaded us.
Yeah.
I
think all musicians should do. They should sing something.
I enjoy the Blues Traveler band. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the fun thing I think also is like, you know, probably the same for you is like we travel in these comedy worlds a lot. And to talk to the people outside the comedy world sometimes. The music, I like the music ones and things like that, you know, to do the podcast with the music guests. And
but I always find it funny when you have the rock stars on, because it's like, that's when you really feel like a comedy guy. Because like we showed up, we drove up in Kevin's GMC SUV.
Yeah.
And he and Homme showed up like on a fucking motorcycle.
Like on a Harley, like a beautiful, like, or Triumph or some shit like that.
Like puts on his like worn out, like fuck, like
snake skin.
Yeah. Elephant skin boots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, from like an elephant that he fucked backstage and killed in the process.
Because it came so hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And enjoyed his riff so much.
Yeah.
His comedy riff. But anyway, so I always find it funny to have those guys on because they're so rocky.
Yeah.
Like they've got skull rings on and tattoos.
It is fun, but when we had Slash on for the first 20 minutes, we talked about dinosaurs.
Did you really?
Yeah, because he loves dinosaurs.
We
talked about like he's a legitimate dinosaur file.
Yeah.
And he he's, you know, he's not casual. It's not like T-Rexes are red, like he knows dinosaurs.
Right.
Here's a question about Slash. Mm-hmm. Is it a top hat with a long hair wig underneath and that he just puts on his bald head now?
You mean like the wig is attached to the hat?
Yeah, the wig is attached to the top hat.
Hair.
I think it's real hair.
Okay.
Yeah. It looks good. Looks real good.
It's still good?
Yeah.
Would you go with that look?
Yeah, I think, at a certain point, I think maybe just to mix it up, I'll come out with, like, some frizzy hair.
Have you ever gone long? Have you ever gone long hair?
No, the longest I ever went was when I worked at MTV, and my hair was, like, just, like, the front of it kind of hung down just below my eyes, but it was
like
never...
Like pre-Bieber?
Yeah, but it was never... But Bieber's, like, short in the back. Like,
right.
This was, like, it was never really... My hair's never been long.
Yeah.
Right.
Ever. I've never had my hair like shoulder length or anything. It's always been relatively a short haircut.
Right. Me too. Not you.
Yeah, no. I've gone long.
Yeah, totally long.
You're going to do it again?
You know, it's like, it's weird. It's like, I go through this thing where I'm always like, that other haircut I had was cool. Like, it's never the haircut I've got now. And then I just come to realize that, like, my face just doesn't look good with any haircut. I just have to deal with
I like the male pattern baldness from Beer Fest.
That was
a good one.
That was a crazy time in my life. That was a crazy time.
Have you ever been bald?
I've had my head shaved, yeah.
Yeah.
Completely. I did this Rob Zombie movie years ago and
Night of a Thousand Blowjobs.
House of a Thousand Blowjobs. And which you'd think is a place everyone would want to go.
Yeah.
Sure.
They have no problem getting corpses
no,
for that.
No, no. But it was unfortunately the blowjob house was next to the corpse house, and people always got the address mixed up.
Ah,
so
yeah.
A lot of people died. You know, like the mix-up was a lot of people died in one house unnecessarily, and then a lot of corpses got blown in the other house.
Yeah.
So it was just sort of a weird. It was a, constant,
a whole other
a comedy of errors.
Yeah.
And so I had my head completely shaved for that because I had a wig on in it because in the movie they like get scalped.
Yeah.
And so they had to do this head appliance, which was
really liberating. I've done bald a couple times, but he did male pattern bald for 6 months.
Oh.
You go, the hair on the side and the bald thing, so you can't hide the fact that you're.
Yeah. It was three
middle midlife crisis.
Yeah, and permed the remaining hair into an afro, and so it was like 3 months doing that, you know, getting it shaved every day, which also means that like on the weekends I've got a 5 o'clock shadow here that people look at, and then
what the fuck is going on with that guy's hair?
Yeah. Oh no, I had that. I had that. And then like for 3 months I had to wait for the reshoots, so then like the permed afro grew out longer, and then. The shaved part started to grow in short.
Oh,
so this was like an
rad.
Inch long. This was like your Wookiee notepad there.
Yeah.
And then the rest was just like, and the perm was coming out, so it was starting to get like just kinky and straight.
But you got a lot of speculative pussy back then with that that hairdo. You did.
Well, it was pussy on spec. It was. Theoretically, I would have sex with you.
Right. Well, no, what happened was, it is kind of a fascinating social experiment. That I went through and these guys got to witness, which was that like I was single during Beer Fest. And so at the beginning of the movie, I was like trying to get action. And what I would do is I would apologize in advance for my appearance. And I'd be like, hey, I don't really look like this. It's for the thing. And it was like I was such a loser about it that like I couldn't get anything. And I was just like, it's the hair. I'm not going to get any action for this entire shoot, so fuck it. I'm just not even going to try. And then what happened? So, like, what happened was then I just didn't give a shit, and I stopped caring. I almost stopped being polite. You know, I was just, like, just kind of, you know, like, talking to people.
The way male pattern baldness guys are.
Well, no, but it was, like, a lot of male pattern baldness guys will apologize, or there's an insecurity that's going there, and instead this was, like, I don't care. I know it's not going to happen, so I'm not going to be like, hey, like trying to hit on a girl or anything. I'm just going to be myself, really.
Yeah.
And what happened then was that all kinds of crazy stuff started coming to me. And like, I won't get into, I mean, like, well, one girl asked me to have sex with her as Finkelstein, which was crazy, with the glasses and the accent. Like, you know, hey, oh my God.
Did you do it?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's a good looking woman.
Yeah. You would have to. You would. You would do it too. You'd do it in character.
And so I would do it in your character.
You'd do it in your German.
That's sort of like an emotional smelting.
It is. Yeah. It is. I'm
inside your character.
Yeah. Me as Steve. Let me start.
That's
so you found that, because I think a lot of the ways that guys think about dating is like, oh, if I'm not attractive enough or if I'm not rich enough or whatever it is, that I'm not gonna, like, no one's gonna want to date me. And then I think it's the guys who sort of figure out, like, hey, why don't you just fucking be yourself and be genuine, and you'll probably attract people.
Well, that's what it was. There was another situation which was like a very
was it the situation
it was I AJ'd the sitch. And he was like, I like bald guys, I don't know what the fucking guy
is. Let me say,
I like you, you're confident.
Yeah, put the glasses on.
Yeah, do it as no, but it was a situation where these girls, so that I'll say these girls, where they said, what we found was incredible was that you were a bald guy, so you shouldn't be confident, and then you were just so confident that it actually made you seem more confident than anybody else, and we just had to find out.
Wow.
And that was like, so this was the kind of stuff that was happening. And then I was like, I should go on tour and do like motivational speaking for bald guys, even though I'm not bald.
Right.
I'm not one of you.
Yeah.
But bear with me here.
Yeah.
Take my advice, because it works.
Yeah. Just quit being a fucking loser.
Right.
And relax. Thanks a lot.
That's not helping.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
So do you find when it helped your confidence in this? And confidence really just means like being comfortable with yourself.
It wasn't like I was like, hey, how's everybody? Yeah, it was like I just stopped trying so hard. And then it was like that just being yourself and being honest was what girls were reacting to. But then it was confusing them, because it was like juxtaposed with someone who shouldn't have that because of the afro and the baldness. Right. And so it just...
You should be more meek.
Yeah.
Did you fall off your game when your hair grew back?
Well, I'm trying to... I mean, yes, definitely. I'm trying to remember what that period of time was like, because it was like then I had the only way out was just to shave the head.
Rex, you went bald.
Which I found to be such a clean experience.
Yeah.
Like, I loved having a shaved head. I kept it not totally bald, but I would do, like, get a one at the barber every, like, week or so. And it was during the summertime, and it was just, it felt so good.
Yeah. So were you going into, like, bars and stuff and just hanging out and meeting people, or were people coming to you?
The people who approached me, this is honest, we were shooting in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The people who approached me were guys who randomly threatened to kick my ass, mm-hmm. which happened on a number of occasions.
Because you were some bald guy.
Because I was bald and geeky looking with the afro and the male pattern. But like, there were times where guys would be like, I should fucking kick your ass. And I'd be like, what did I do? And they're like, just cause. I just want to fucking punch you in the face. You're like, I literally haven't done anything. I'm just standing here.
I'm just bald.
Yeah, I'm just bald. That's it. But no, I mean, you know, that was a situation where it was like, you know, you're making a movie, you're on location, and so it's the cast and crew is hanging out, mm-hmm. and, it, you know, it's a college town, Albuquerque, and so, you know people. I mean, those situations, it's just easier to meet people.
Yeah.
It's the extras I'm talking about. Yeah. No, but it was, I mean, you were there with me for the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was a really weird, interesting.
Yeah, there was that time that guy bought us all drinks.
Oh, yeah. There was
that
like
bar.
Yeah, that was a different thing, like a different type thing, but like a dude came up to, we were bowling.
Yeah. All the Brooklyn Lizard guys.
Yeah. And he was like, oh my God, I'm the biggest fan. I love you guys. You know, he came up with a pitcher and five glasses of beer.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And so he poured out the five beers and handed one to Kevin, handed one to Jay, one to Eric, one to Paul. And then I had my hand out waiting for the fifth one, and he took that for himself. And then, like, was like, cheers, guys. And they all drank. And it was just he didn't recognize me. And so, like, I was definitely, like, feeling a little left out of some broken...
Hey, who's the bald guy?
Yeah.
Who's the bald guy you're hanging out with?
Who's this guy?
Who's that guy getting all the pussy?
Yeah. Who's that guy? God, he gets pussy.
Was he in a podcast or something?
Yeah.
What's a podcast?
Is that Chris Hardwick? That's Hardwick, isn't it? I heard about Hardwick.
Yeah. No, it's funny because, when I was younger, I was super just awkward. I mean, it's sort of, it's nice to just feel okay with myself now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're, I don't know, when I was young, though, it was like, there was so much apologizing and disclaiming and like, oh, I have to be careful. Are you okay? I just want to make sure that, you know, it was just so gross. And
the ladies can smell that.
Yeah.
The desperation.
Yeah.
You know what it is? Because because anyone, male, female, whatever, they can smell when someone's needy. And when someone's super needy, it's off-putting because people feel like, they're like you're putting responsibility on them to fill you in some way, and no one wants to do that.
Yeah,
well, it's the great saying: desperation is the world's worst cologne.
Yeah,
and because that's what it's like. It's so off-putting for people.
Deer cum is the best cologne.
That's great.
Oh my
cologne.
God.
Yeah.
Something behind the ears and on your wrist.
Yeah, yeah. That is actually the best cologne. So desperation's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. But I recommend all guys. Shave male pattern baldness into the head.
just as a...
You started trying.
Sort of like throwing yourself to the wolves at the teen tours.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's just
you'll
like...
You'll learn.
Trying to knock you, like purposely knock yourself down.
Well, I mean, like, then I was also more sympathetic, you know, to the plight.
You walked in someone else's shoes for a little bit.
It's like when, like...
I know you're about to bring up Soul Man.
Yeah. He got a lot of action on that.
C. Thomas Howell.
C. Thomas Howell. Yeah. C. Tom got a lot of
I was glad to see C. Thomas in the Spider-Man movie.
But I felt like he got a little... I mean, obviously he had a bigger arc somehow, and then it got cut out, and then it felt kind of weird, I thought.
Yeah.
Well, but he then, you know, like he and the rest of the guys whipped those cranes around for Spider-Man
right.
to help him
out.
He's
Spider-Man.
My friend.
Hey. New York's behind you, Spider-Man.
Yeah, we got your back.
Just
Spider-Man.
Want you to know,
yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
you know, I might be a rough and tumble guy, but I know what's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
And we got to swing these cranes around so you can hit them with your wrist webs.
Yeah, the guy saved my daughter.
Come on, guys.
Come on.
So I just got 100 of my friends.
Yeah,
because we all stick together.
Yeah, I'm getting the 52 guys. We're gonna save Spider-Man's ass.
Swing those cranes around. I know it's terribly dangerous for any of the low flying aircraft and whatnot. Yeah. But
don't give me any of that union shit either.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Spider-Man ain't got a union.
Yeah, Spider-Man, you should join our union. You should be a good 52 guy.
What if he was just playing himself in the movie?
That's
Thomas.
That's
Al.
Why.
Yeah, he's actually just, he's from Staten Island.
Yeah. C. Thomas.
He
Al.
Was working construction when they came.
Oh, you think he was crewing up?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
So what's next? What are you guys doing next?
We're gonna do Super Troopers 2.
Nice.
Is actually what the big plan is. We just finished sealing all the deals. It seems like, right?
It's funny because we say that we've been saying that for a long time.
I know, but
time.
Now it's real.
It's really real.
Yeah, and we actually have a deadline. We have to shoot, I think, before March 1st, right? So, So I think probably in February.
Do you need any German
people? Do we need any Germans? Are there any Germans in there?
Is there any Germans?
What about Canadian? Can you do Canadian? We have some Canadians.
Yeah, I can do that already.
Eh?
Okay, or can you do a French Canadian? Can you do a French?
Yeah, as a French Canadian is a little bit like this. It's not as thick as French. It's a little
that's
arrogant.
Really good.
And
I didn't know that you were an accent guy.
Well, I'll try, guys. You know.
Hello. Hello.
Now that's what made everyone turn off the podcast. Right. Yeah. Not all of the smelting talk. It was like, no more accents.
Yeah. God.
Once Hardwick gets into the accents, I tune right out.
I can't stop. Yeah, it's like. It's like Robert Downey Jr.'s character in Tropic Thunder. He just doesn't know who he is anymore. So Super Troopers 2.
Yeah, so we're going to do that, I think, in February, right? Isn't that what the plan is?
February, although there's even some talk about like December or like moving it up. Or
maybe
like
that'd be hard, but
yes. Yeah, pre-production in December.
Winter
maybe that's
time,
what
you know.
It is.
It's hard to shoot in winter time.
Yeah, but we've talked about like the possibility. Super Troopers is all green and actually flipping it and doing Super Troopers 2 as a winter movie because
like Fargo,
yeah,
right. Like Fargo,
yeah,
like Fargo.
That would
like
be
Fargo.
Amazing.
Fargo,
yeah.
I loved Fargo.
Fargo is so good.
Really good.
It's so good.
Fargo was hilarious.
It was good.
I loved Fargo.
Hashtag yes.
Fargo.
Fargo. But we actually just shot our new special. We shot a special at Denver Comedy Works.
Oh, downtown.
Which is
fucking best.
It's
it.
A great place.
Yeah, I mean, we had done a show there. I don't know, because we kind of like started wanting to shoot specials, but we really liked this kind of club feel that we would get.
Yeah.
And like a lot of the theaters, they felt a little too impersonal, so we tried to want to capture that kind of like drinking beers and whatever. So we shot the first one we did.
We also do some crowd work as well, which
And pull people out on stage and stuff. And so we shot one for Netflix at the Punchline in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Which is also an amazing club.
Which is great. I mean,
about 200 people. Holds about 200 people.
Yeah, and it's like low ceilings and, you know. And that was fun, so we wanted to try to find another place like that. And Comedy Works is like as good as it gets.
It's great.
That room. And so we shot that in July. Now we're just editing it.
Yeah. But a great room because like the room itself is a great room for comedy, but also the crowds. It's just, you know, I mean.
They're like smart and stoned.
They're smart and stoned. But it's great because it's like each, you know, everybody who does stand-up comedy knows every crowd has its own personality and every city has its own vibe or, you know, personality as well.
Yeah.
And that's just one where like they're easy laughers, I guess.
Yeah, they are.
Maybe because they're stoned.
Yeah.
But even before it was legalized.
Even before it was legal, it was always, you know, Comedy Works downtown was always one of the best clubs in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, we shot that and... we're editing that. But it's easy for us because, again, we're cheating. You have to come up with an hour. We just come up with half an hour.
Oh, God damn it.
And then we go out there together.
God damn it.
Yeah. See?
And half an hour is actually too long. Like, we should do 25 minutes. And then we do a two-man, like, 15-minute bit.
Right.
That's just a story.
Sure.
About the making of the movies. Like, it's built in.
Yeah.
When is that going to come out?
I don't know yet. We're going to finish it, I would imagine, spring.
Okay.
Because they're trying to time it to the Super Troopers thing.
Okay.
I think it'll end up being spring, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we, you know, with the Netflix one, it's been our experience, you know, because we're independent filmmakers is, you know, what we originally did after sketch comedy. But, like, we're always of the philosophy of, like, just shoot. So, like, when we started to try to find buyers for the original special, and then we were like, you know what, let's just choose a date and go out of pocket, and then we'll shop it after that. And Netflix came on board when they found out we were doing that.
Oh, nice.
So it was good because we went out of pocket. We kept the cost down. And so we've done that with this one. We're like, let's, you know, go out of pocket again.
Well, because, you know, it's like it's such a pain in the ass to get these deals done, you know?
Yes.
And then you're, like, trying to figure out a date. It's like, well, we have this room for this day. So, like, screw it. Let's just shoot it. And so that's what we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I actually just got a thing from my business manager, our business manager.
You reimbursed me?
I reimbursed you.
That was very nice of you.
Nobody told me it was going to happen. It was like a $12,000 check. I was like, okay, I'm going to send a fucking letter to my guy. Like, let's actually, no, you. I just wanted somebody to notify me
in
advance.
Okay. How many people say meow meow at you on a daily basis?
Tons.
A lot.
Still?
Yeah.
What's funny is, though, that's how we get heckled in stand-up shows.
No!
Yeah, like, well, nobody says, you suck, or, like, that's the traditional heckling.
That's your, I'm Rick James, bitch.
That's it, yeah. We get those things, you know? We get the people throwing lines out from the movies, right. You know? Or say meow. But I was just editing a piece of the new special, and it was someone shouts out, say Carr Ramrod.
Yeah.
Like, in the middle
say
of
it.
That. Yeah.
You're and a like, puppet, say it!
And you're like, Carr Ramrod. They go, wee!
I control
like,
you.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay.
Alrighty.
Yeah. But that's how we get heckled, which is I think is kind of funny.
That's not bad. That's not a bad way to get heckled.
It's not bad because they're
fans.
It's nice. They're being nice about it. You know, it's not like, you're a douchebag.
Yeah,
you know,
there are two kinds of meow people though. They're the ones who say it properly, which is just substituting the word now.
Right.
Like, how you doing, meow?
Right.
And then there are the people who just throw meows in at random spots. That's the incorrect way. That one bothers me.
Well, those people are from Speculative Pussy.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Speculative
just
Pussy.
Trying to bring or,
yeah, and Hamster Jam.
And Hamster Jam. Good pull.
By the way, I forget what it was. It might have been when we were writing a script about college professors.
Yeah.
And like there was something about like being in the woods and cooking, but I came across a recipe for chili cone hamster, which is it's like a redneck like a super hillbilly recipe that you can do hamsters or chipmunk.
Oh. Is it something you made up or you found it?
No, I found it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to try it.
Are you asking if I will have it with you?
Yeah. Would you? Anyway, I found a great spot that does it. I'd like to invite you both, actually all four of you, to
join part
me.
Of the hillbilly chic food movement here in Los Angeles. Sure. All the foodies are... You know, because hamsters are just like tapas, really. I mean,
the bite size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the restaurant, hamster jam, right? That's the name of the
spread
plan.
It onto hamster your jam. Your breast.
Spread it on there.
Yeah. The
what, this jam. Is great. What is this? Oh, it's hamster jam.
Oh. Yeah. Made with real hamster.
Yeah. Oh. It's so hipster, it's crazy. All the hipsters are using
they
hamster jam.
They love hamsters,
now.
Hipsters and hamsters.
Yeah. That's that new bar in the meatpacking district. Right. Hipsters and hamsters.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Love that.
Just a lot of ironic tapas. Mustaches and hamster jams. Right. A variety of hamster
and
jams.
And cuffed jeans. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We put cumin in it, and it's lavender.
It's gluten
brown
free
sugar.
Hamster.
Really good. Yeah. Hamsters
it's
really
farm raised hamster.
They're free range hamster.
Yeah.
There are no free range hamsters.
Yeah, exactly. Then a documentary is going to be done on the cruelty.
The cruelty of the hamsters. Yeah.
The hamsters like just living in little huts being raised for the chili.
Black hamster.
Yeah. Black hamster. On CNN. Yeah. Black hamster.
And then a CNN special report. All right, that's it. Chewing It is on the Nerdist Podcast Network. And thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah, good to see you.
Yeah, let's check in again when you guys, when you're shooting the movie and I don't know.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Tell us about it.
Yeah.
Good.
The end. Enjoy your burrito.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies and brands to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity, a how-to guide for navigating life's challenges from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.